Our guest today is Shoshana Katzman, author and Qigong master. Shoshana, welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
So, I've been looking at your information here, and you seem to be a very busy and talented woman.
That I am.
Now, you have authored a couple of books. One of them is Qigong for... Did I pronounce that right, Qigong? Is that right?
You've got it.
Okay. Qigong for Staying Young. And you're also the co-author of a book called Feeling Light, The Holistic Solution to Permanent Weight Loss and Wellness. It sounds like you're taking the things that you're doing in a lot of different directions. Can you say more about that?
Well, they're all focused on Chinese medicine, traditional Chinese medicine, as it's, you know, that in Chinese medicine we do acupuncture, we do Qigong, we work with holistic nutrition through traditional Chinese principles about food, and we work with massage, and I also have a master's degree in sports medicine, which I've applied to the teaching of Qigong and Tai Chi, and then 12 years in studying energy body medicine with this incredible pioneer from Hamburg, Germany, Christine Schenk. So I've pulled it all together and provided in my center in Red Bank, New Jersey, where I really help people to find health and healing within themselves.
Mm-hmm. And how did you get interested in traditional Chinese medicine?
I was 24 years old, and I was had just moved to San Francisco, and I saw people doing these really beautiful, graceful movements in the panhandle of San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And I just walked down to find out what was going on there. What were they doing? I had always been an athlete my whole life, competitive tennis player starting at age 10. Mm. I was ranked in field hockey throughout college, basketball throughout college, and tennis, you know, throughout college, and I was like, where's my team? Where's my movement? Because once you get out of school, it's more difficult to continue doing physical movement.
Right.
So I was very attracted to it, and then that opened up the entire world of Chinese herbology and acupuncture and energy body medicine to me.
Well, one of the things I understand that you're doing is that you have been working with young people and Qigong. And, you know, what's very distressing to me is a lot of physical education, along with music and the arts, have been eliminated from the public schools because of concerns about money and that kind of thing. And to hear about you kind of going back through and supplying people with the means to do this very important and helpful and healing movement, I think is very exciting.
That was a really great experience. I went into Red Bank Regional High School, and we gave out, the National Qigong Association gave provided free videos and DVDs to the kids, and 700 high school students came through that day, and I taught them Qigong. And one of the things that they loved the most was that it would help them get away, release and protect themselves from negative, toxic energy from other people. And you can really understand that coming from a high school student, and also a way for them to cultivate their vital energy, their qi within their bodies, and strengthen their wei qi, which is their immune system. They really liked it as a defense, which is interesting because Tai Chi, which is the sister Chinese movement to Qigong, has the martial arts origin to it, whereas the Qigong is more for medical. But these kids really loved it and took that from it.
Well, I think one of the things I find so exciting about that is, especially with young people at that particular age, so many of them are exploring the darker sides of themselves and dealing with hormones and trying to figure out their place in the world. And often some of that investigation, you know, as I said, goes to negative things or the darker side. And for you to bring this to them, to give them an opportunity to release some of that energy in a constructive way, I love that. I wish it was all over the country.
Yeah, and I have a 17-year-old son who is just writing his essay for college, and I just read it last night. It was astounding. He wrote it about the influence that I, as his mother, have had on his awareness. And when he grew up, I used to tell him, now stay in your body, you know, always know where you are and be centered and all this thing, these kinds of things. And he used to roll his head up, eyes up in his head. And he wrote in this incredible essay how it has opened his mind up to, well, he wants to be an engineer and get into working with energy himself, mm-hmm. and developing new sources of energy. But mm-hmm. how, you know, he talked about the black holes in his essay, and about how there are things that exist that you cannot see, which are real, and how much it's influenced him, and how he will always be so open-minded to everything, anything that's possible that could exist. And it's just incredible to read it. So the kids are just like sponges, and they're very open-minded. And as my teacher Christine Schenk says, that children are adult energy bodies. It's not till we go into the school and we get very linear and very, you know, we're told that our awareness is, you know, need to be just put away somewhere, and we forget how intuitive and how much there is to see that's non-physical in the world. So I'm just thrilled to have brought it to so many of those young people in the high school, and also with my own children, to open up their awareness, how important it is to be in touch with everything that is non-physical as well as physical in the world.
Well, I love what you're saying there, because so many times, especially in working with young people, we think as parents, and sometimes teachers, you know, I don't think they're listening, I don't think I'm getting through, I don't think they're paying attention. And you really bring up that point that, yeah, they are sponges, they are paying attention. Often it's their job to tell us we're old and silly and we don't know anything, but they're listening very carefully, not only to the wonderful things they're doing, but to some of the not-so-wonderful things as well. So we need to be thoughtful about that. We have a caller now. We have Peggy in Chicago. Peggy, are you there?
I'm here. Hello.
Hi, Peggy. You're on the air with Annette Martin, and I think you have a question for her.
I do. Hi, Annette. I am calling with regard to my mother, who has advanced Alzheimer's and who has been in hospice. It was just a year in May.
Although she's unable to speak at present, she is here in the studio, and I will serve as her voice so you can benefit, as always, from her clairvoyant wisdom. We're talking to Shoshana Kaplan, author and Qigong master. You can reach her at her website at healingforyou.com. If you have a question for our guest or Annette and myself, our phone lines are open at 1-877-500-ZEUS. That's 1-877-500-9387. Or you can go to hearwomentalk.com and click on the yellow chat now button. Now, before the break, we were talking with a caller whose mom is suffering Alzheimer's, and she's really, you know, kind of struggling with that. It's a difficult thing. And I was interested in how some of the things, Shoshana, that you do in your center, if someone came to you and said, you know, I'm going through this, and I'm looking for some ways that I can deal with the stress and maybe establish some new practices in life that will help me on an ongoing basis to deal with what's going to come. Because, of course, when someone dies or someone's ill, it doesn't just take a few days. I mean, it's a process of weeks and months and years to go through that. How would you address that with her?
Certainly. Well, one of the things that I've experienced on numerous occasions is family members actually bringing their loved ones that have Alzheimer's to my center for acupuncture treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And the acupuncture can be helpful. It depends how advanced the Alzheimer's is, but mm-hmm. It can be very helpful, because many times the Alzheimer's patient is agitated, and the acupuncture is very, very good for relaxing and calming the body. But what happens frequently I also speak with the family members, because so many times the caregivers are really the ones that need the most care.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's such a good point.
So I oftentimes suggest that they have acupuncture or massage, you know, because we offer therapeutic massage at the center, too. And so that's a wonderful thing for the caregiver to do. I could also work with them and teach them a couple of Qigong exercises, just basic breathing by moving and breathing. It integrates the body breath and the mind and cultivates the Qi, because mm-hmm. when you're handling this kind of a situation with the family member, it can really drain your energy. And so you really need to cultivate your energy and to calm yourself. So the Qigong would be a very good exercise. And you can just learn one or two exercises. In fact, I just worked with a woman 2 weeks ago who I saw again for acupuncture today. And she said, well, I don't really want to be practicing the Qigong intensively 20 minutes a day, but that one exercise you taught me where I had her cover her chest, cross her hands over her chest, over her heart, and take deep breaths into her lower dantian and her center of physical healing in her body, that is something she has used every day, which you can do laying down or sitting up. And, you know, it's even something that she could do if you have a loved one with Alzheimer's, that you could actually have the person with the Alzheimer's do the movement, you know, just have them cross their hands over their heart or over their belly and just sit there and breathe, that both of you doing the Qigong exercise, and do deep breathing together. And it just kind of brings you together in that moment. One of the hardest things is sharing in that moment, however many moments that you have left together. And it does, it gives you a sense of peace and tranquility and connection, not only with yourself, but with other people.
Well, I think that's a really good point, because I believe that one of the hardest things that anyone can go through is to watch someone they love suffer or be ill. And there's only so much that you can do. You know, the person just has to go through that process themselves. So having a practice and or some exercises and or acupuncture that can help them deal with their feelings and their energy as their loved one is ill, I think is absolutely marvelous. And now I want to ask you more of a technical question. You know, lots of people hear about the wonders of Qigong or how acupuncture has helped someone tremendously with things like sleep or anxiety. Just the list is quite long. Can you talk to us a little bit about the technical aspects of Qigong? How does it work?
It's opening the flow of vital energy throughout the meridians, which are the energy pathways of the body. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes when someone has anxiety, they have an excess heart fire, which is too much fire in the heart, and the heart is racing, or the body, the heart energy is just working way too quickly, and there's no integration of the person within themselves, where they feel like they're outside of their skin or some other description such as that. And so when you bring in Qigong, you know, you're not only opening up the energy, the vital energy throughout the meridian pathways of the body, and I would give someone with that kind of condition an exercise that would balance out the heart and the lungs, and to bring the energy down, you're also concentrating your mind on your lower dantian, so that brings the energy down, and it creates a unification of your body, mind, and spirit. And so technically what happens is that everything comes together, and there's a merging and a wholeness that happens within you, so that the fear goes away. And it also works with the kidney energy, which has to do with fear. So we do sounds. We do healing sounds for the kidneys, which release fear from the body and nourish the kidneys. And then the deep breathing also oxygenates the body. And the exercises work with the neurological system, and it works with your nervous system to calm you down, works with the parasympathetic and the sympathetic nervous system. So in all these ways, it creates a wholeness and an energy flow where you feel very centered and you feel very at peace and you feel very empowered within yourself.
And do you find that when you begin the process with people that they're somewhat skeptical and it's difficult for them to accept, you know, the idea of energy in the body and meridians and all the different things that you were talking about?
Many times I have clients that come for either acupuncture or Qigong. Maybe their physician had sent them to come and they really weren't like-minded. You know, sometimes you're not preaching to the choir. And for those people, I go very, very slow and I allow them to experience it on their own, and they're usually very open to it. Now, the woman I was telling you about before, she explained to me that she's from the old school, and that's why she's more into traditional ways of movement. But I'm teaching another woman who's from the old school that is absolutely loving it. So it really depends on a person's openness and readiness to feel the energy. Many people close themselves off no matter what I help them to experience with acupuncture, Qigong, or Tai Chi. They will still say they don't like it because they're not possibly ready for it, or they're not open to it, or they're denying themselves that energetic experience. But it's here. You know, we're both energetic and physical beings, and so it's here anyway. They just physically, they may just deny themselves their energetic aspects of themselves to flourish and to grow. And oftentimes that's why they're having problems in their life.
Right. Well, and again, you know, we all have to be ready for whatever it is that we're doing. Whatever, you know, whether it's changing your hairstyle or experimenting with Qigong and acupuncture. Now, before the break, we were talking about what Qigong is and kind of how it works. And you've written a really interesting book called Qigong for Staying Young. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I created the book for women, but it's men love it too. It's a 20-minute workout. The first part of my book talks about how to do the movements, describes them exactly, and with about 160 pictures of me doing the movements, and I guide people so they can learn how to do Qigong just from reading that first section. Then, and so that's living the 20-minute workout. And then part two of the book is dedicated to understanding the 20-minute workout, which is a lot of what you were asking before. How does Qigong work? What is Qigong doing for me? And I apply all the principles of Oriental medicine to that explanation, as well as I bring in some Western medicine. And then part three is, it's not just an exercise book, but it's really like a primer in Chinese medicine, and written for women as they begin about 30, 35 onward, preparing women for strengthening their blood and their chi, their vital energy, as they move towards the menopausal years. And then part three of my book has acupressure points located anatomically, and it has pictures of me locating them. And then I go through 25 symptoms that we get as women as we get older: anxiety, pain, hot flashes, dryness, all the different problems that we can get as we age, mental clarity, and things that can help your mental clarity. And then I give more Qigong exercises that you can do for those problems, acupressure points that you can do on yourself, foods and different ways of attitude for the different problems. And then I tell you which movements of the 20-minute workout you can use to heal yourself for those problems. So
I love that.
Yeah, so it's it was a very, it took me a lot of time to do all the research and pull this together, and it's really a coalition, you know, it brought together everything that I had done in my career up to that point.
Mm-hmm, yeah, a compilation of your wisdom and achievement. Well, the thing that I'm so pleased about is that a lot of women are, especially in menopause or if they're perimenopausal, are beginning to have symptoms and they're looking around, what can I do to treat those things? And I'm not really sure I want to do hormone replacement therapy, etc. And it sounds like that your Qigong has a very positive effect on hormones.
It does. It can really balance the hormones. The hormones are very, very tiny structures that all work together. It's kind of like an orchestra. They're all a different instrument, and they have a very powerful effect on how we feel, how we're, you know, our sleep gets affected when we go into menopause. We can get hot flashes. We can get depression, dryness, extreme dryness, and so.
Oh, yeah.
The Qigong balances the hormones through these movements, and it's really energy medicine for the body, and the hormones are whether is as closely connected to the energetic system than any other part of our physical body anatomy and physiology. And so when you do these movements and you reconnect your energy system to your physical system, the energy just starts moving and your hormones do balance, and you can really help yourself with menopausal symptoms through Qigong.
Now, this wonderful book, which sounds like needs to be on everybody's bookshelf for a number of reasons, is that available in online booksellers? Is that our best?
It's online, and it's in all the major stores. And I also have a DVD that goes along with the book, which is the movements with beautiful bamboo flute music, that you can learn the movements by watching me do the Qigong. And that DVD you could mostly get from going on to my website, healingforyou.com.
Right. Okay. That's really excellent. That is so great to know, because having that kind of information accessible to the larger public, I think is just fantastic, and I'm sure was an incredible amount of work for you to do. You've also written a book called Feeling Light, The Holistic Solution to Permanent Weight Loss and Wellness. That's another thing that women are often struggling with, certainly throughout their lifespan, but particularly when they hit menopause and there's that shift in their hormones, they often find themselves putting on unwanted pounds. What was your book about? Focus, basically?
It's mainly that it's about healing from within, and that it's not about going from diet to diet. Certainly choosing healthy foods, organic foods, foods from when you go in a supermarket, around the outside of the supermarket, foods that are not tainted with coloring agents and fried foods and those kinds of foods. You don't really want to be eating. You want to be eating wholesome foods and also more lower glycemic foods. But it's really about healing from the inside out and using daily affirmations and flower essences and Tai Chi movements and Qigong movements and the Feeling Light smoothie, which is a green drink that is like rocket fuel to the body, and giving yourself the proper nutrition through vitamins and really reconnecting with yourself to find out what it is that's really eating you. It's about the mind-body-mouth connection, where you stop feeding yourself to cover up your feelings, and you start feeling your feelings and not needing to stuff yourself and stuff your feelings down, but to really feel whole within yourself and make a commitment to yourself to choose the proper foods and to allow your body to choose the foods rather than to be eating for all the wrong reasons. And so it helps you to feel that sense of wholeness and energy in your life, and to accept yourself for who you are, and to not deny yourself in life. That doesn't work for weight loss, but to nurture and take care of yourself and give yourself what you need, not just with food, but in relationships and with everything you do in your life.
So it's about looking at what you're eating and what's eating you. Kind of
exactly.
Both, huh?
Exactly, aches.
Yeah. That's pretty powerful. A lot of people self-medicate with food and they don't realize, you know, that that's what they're doing. And when you use the word glycemic, of course, you were referring to keeping the fast carbohydrates and the sugars low so that your body doesn't make fat so easily.
Yeah, and also inflammation, excess sugar.
Right.
Foods that raise the sugar level in your body create inflammation in your body and also increase cravings.
Mm-hmm.
So, and also part of feeling light is doing self-acupressure on your ear, because when someone comes to me for acupuncture for weight management, I treat their ear and the hormone points in your ear, the hunger point, the stomach point to strengthen your stomach, the kidney point to give you more willpower. And so in the Feeling Light book, I teach people how to do self-acupressure to help get rid of their cravings and strengthen their willpower.
All those things sound like wonderful techniques to help us keep our insulin in line, which is the key to losing weight and maintaining a healthy weight. It's time for us to take a welcome back to Annette Martin's Psychic World. I'm Dr. Margaret Cochran. Although Annette's unable to speak, she is here in the studio, and as always, I will serve as her voice so you can benefit from her clairvoyant wisdom. We're talking to Shoshana Katzman, author and Qigong master. You can reach her at her website, healingforyou.com. That's HEALINGFORYOU.com. And you can also find there her books, Qigong for Staying Young, and also Feeling Light, the Holistic Solution to Permanent Weight Loss and Wellness. Both of them sound like fascinating books and very helpful ones, too. Now, let's get down to the nitty-gritty, as we say. Acupuncture, I think, is a very helpful thing, and I certainly refer my patients to it from time to time. But there are people who are just scared silly at the thought of needles. So how do you handle that?
Usually when people think about needles, they think about getting a shot, which is a hollow needle where someone is putting something into your body, or they think about a blood test where someone is putting a hollow needle into your body and drawing your blood out. A totally, totally, totally different experience compared to acupuncture, which is a very, very, very fine stainless steel needle, solid, but it's mm-hmm. so thin that you can hardly even see it. And it's in a tube. The Japanese cult people have developed this incredibly painless method of needle insertion, which is the acupuncture needle is inside of a tube. We put the tube right on the skin, and all you really feel is the tube, the plastic tube on your skin, because I tapped the needle in so quickly, this very fine hair-like, it's almost hair-like, it's so thin, and mm-hmm. tap it in so quickly that you don't even feel it. So the needle phobia goes away as soon as you experience it. In fact, people laugh, especially children when they have acupuncture. They giggle because they...
Go ahead.
Yes, they usually get, you know, so nervous before because they think it's going to hurt, and then, you know, they're told that things are going to hurt, and then they have that they don't hurt, and then they have it, and they do hurt. So they don't trust when I say they're not going to feel it.
Sure.
So they just giggle and laugh when they experience it, and adults will say, "I cannot believe I stayed away so long."
Yeah.
That because it's so easy to have, and people love their treatments. They can't wait to come back for another acupuncture treatment. So I don't think it's painful. It's surprisingly painless.
Fantastic. Well, so it's just this tiny, 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 very, very thin metal, and you don't really feel it when it's going in your body. And I love that plan because I'm not a big fan of needles myself. So it's good to hear that, you know, that's not really going to end up being an issue after all, especially talking about kids, you know, and being so comfortable. And children are always very good at letting us know exactly how they feel about things. So if they're happy with it, then there's a really good chance the rest of us will be able to tolerate it quite
well. And a lot of my patients come because they've taken their dogs or cats or horses for acupuncture. And they tell me that their animals run to the vet that does the acupuncture and loves it, and it helps them so much. And that's one of the reasons why it's one of the greatest proofs about that acupuncture is not placebo, because it works for animals and they don't have any preconceived notion about it.
Mm-hmm. So would you use the acupuncture on animals for the same things that you would treat people for, basically pain?
Yes.
Or anxiety?
Anxiety, or? Definitely. Definitely.
Wow, I'll have to try that on my cat.
There you go.
My cat, Arthur, is very, very anxious guy. I'm wondering, how do we find a qualified practitioner? What's the best way to go about that?
Well, there's the nccaom.org for
nccaom.org, okay.
Yes, and for Qigong and Tai Chi, there's nqa.org.
nqa.org, okay.
And the NQA has a yearly gathering, which they're going to have in August in Pennsylvania, and you can check that out on their website, where lay people come to learn Qigong. But you can also find a Qigong practitioner near you, or there are other Qigong books on their website, and I think you can also get my Qigong and DVD on their website. I was their first woman president of the NQA, and now I am their current chair of their advisory council, and it's a wonderful organization to bring Qigong out to people in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. And so now, are acupuncturists usually licensed? I know they are here in California. Is that true in other parts of the country as well?
Yes, and I was originally licensed as an acupuncturist and herbalist in California many, many years ago. Mm-hmm. But I've been back in New Jersey for about 24 years now, 25 years. But most states have licensing. In New Jersey, we have the New Jersey State Acupuncture Examining Board, so we take care of our own licensees, in which I was the previous president of that and the current secretary, and we take it very seriously of protecting our consumers in the state of New Jersey and making sure that everyone is properly trained and licensed. But many of the states are using the NCCAOM licensing, which is a diplomat of acupuncture, and everyone takes the national examination. Mm-hmm. So many states don't have their own board, but they use the NCCAOM, which is a very reputable organization for certification of acupuncturists. But if you live in a state, you could go online and just type in certification of or licensing of acupuncturists in your state, and you should be able to come up with information on that.
Do people's insurance ever cover acupuncture?
Yes, Blue Cross Blue Shield has been amazing. They're usually reimbursing people 80%. Through the years, I've been an acupuncturist like 26 years. Through the years, different companies take turns being the one that covers, and right now Blue Cross Blue Shield's been great. Massage sometimes is covered. Qigong even sometimes is covered. And in the future, I think with the Obamacare and everything, acupuncture and Qigong and alternative therapies are going to have more of a presence in that plan, because it's really very low cost medicine that people can obtain and help themselves heal. And something like Qigong, all you do is pay for the book or the DVD or very inexpensive lessons. And so it really empowers people. It's really energy medicine that people can give to themselves and balance themselves. So it's very, very people-oriented, which is wonderful.
Well, that's what I like, is the empowerment piece that people can put some of their health care back in their own hands. You know,
exactly.
So.
And even with acupuncture, it's not that you want someone to stay and be dependent on me and my energy. I empower them to strengthen and balance their own energy so they can. It's like a biofeedback system where when they get the acupuncture, they learn what it is to feel that balance, and I also give them other ways to go back into their lives to not not go into a situation where the blockages come in and stop that flow from happening again.
Mm-hmm. And are you finding that more and more traditional allopathic physicians or traditional Western medicine-focused physicians are accepting acupuncture and Qigong as useful tools in helping people to achieve wellness?
They are. I have more and more Western allopathic physicians referring patients to me. I have a very large number of allopathic physicians as patients myself.
Nice.
They're seeking out the treatments themselves. It's astounding. And then there are a lot of allopathic physicians that are becoming acupuncturists themselves. Mind you, they are doing maybe 300 hours of training to do that on top of their medical training, but they still provide a wonderful service to people, because there are many people that would not go to a licensed acupuncturist. They would only get acupuncture from their medical doctor. That's just their mindset. And for those people, it's wonderful that medical doctors are doing it. And many medical doctors go to acupuncture schools and really learn the very traditional method of doing acupuncture with pulse taking and tongue diagnosis and differential diagnosis, where we really get into the deeper energetics of the body. And so, you know, I recommend that form of acupuncture over just kind of cookbook acupuncture, where you just treat the symptoms. It's more like a Band-Aid. But with acupuncture, you're really going to the deeper underlying cause of the problem and really balancing the energetics of the client, which is much more long-lasting and really helps to create change in a person's system.
Well, I think what you're promoting is certainly something that my partner, Dr. David Wagner, and I talk about a lot at our clinic, Saratoga Family Health Center, which is that the body and the mind are one thing, and you can't ignore one in the favor of the other, nor can you treat the body as just a grouping of parts. It's a one large organism, and you have to think of it in that way, and it sounds as though what you're saying really embraces that, and that you're very comfortable and supportive of combining different kinds of healing methods to help people be well.
That's for sure.
Well, there aren't a lot of people who do that, so you get big points for that.
Well, I think the way things are moving, you know, people are throwing the baby out with the bathwater.
Nice.
And they're not keeping, it's the same thing in tradition and families. I hope we swing back, because this is the richness of the tradition, and it needs to be maintained for the wholeness, not just of our society, but, you know, just within each person. And we just have to go that direction. That's the only way to go, because things have just been too scattered and too separated, and there's just too much disjointed energy happening, and we need to come back together and be whole within ourselves in order to deal with these heavy, heavy stresses. That's why there's so much dis-ease for people, is because they're split from themselves, and they really need to reintegrate themselves and to find this happiness and wholeness and peace and prosperity and good things in their life, and enjoy good health and wonderful family, and just really feel good about waking up every day.
Well, once again, what you're talking about is the system's perspective, and seeing the person not only their body and their mind, but in context, their whole world, and how the support, I think one of the biggest parts of healing is the support of family and friends, and feeling that sense of connectedness, and that's often what pulls us through no matter whatever else is going on. And it sounds like you really get that. You promote it. And I think that's just so admirable. I respect you so much, and we're very, very fortunate to have you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Cochran. Thank you to Annette Martin, too. It's really been wonderful to be here today and share this and talk with you. And it's just great to share these thoughts and feelings with you.